Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu, melech ha'olam, shehakol liyevivra.
We turn with Siyata Nishmaya to Mishlei Perchof Aleph, Pasuk Chof Ches. All right, Shlomo Melech, Eid Kizavim Yovei. Eid Kizavim, a witness who is filled with lies, with Sheker and Chazav. Yovei, that person is going to perish. And that person will get lost forever. Vish Shamei Lanetzach Yidaber. And one who listens, one who hears that falsehood will forever speak that falsehood and will not necessarily forget it. Writes the Mitzvah's David. Now what does this mean, Yovain? We're letting the false witness know. Someone who's going to bring sheker, falsehood into the world, even if he is not found to be a false witness, and he's not found to perhaps be what's called an Eid Zomei Mahal topic in Maseches Makos, and if we're not even going to throw this person out and punish him, below Yekabel Onesh, Nikomokom, Yovi B'dei Shemayim, just know, Hashem is not just Yestam going to punish him, but he will mamish perish. The idea being, the son of Recha Yitzhoker, to go ahead and to misuse and abuse your Koach HaDibur, and that defines you as a human being, that says that you're here to go ahead and bring emes into the world. If instead you're going to bring sheker into the world, then it's kilu you are mufka min olam. It's kilu you're uprooted entirely from the olam amatzias, from the world of reality. You're here to go and use that koach hadibur. So it's one thing if you're not going to use it correctly. It's one thing if a person is going to go ahead and not use it for Torah and for tefillah. But to take that same koach hadibur that Hashem Yisburach endowed us with, and to now use it to destroy someone else, to testify falsely against another individual, to try and cause harm through that very koach hadibur, Hashem says, not only will I give that person an onesh, but Yovei, that person's going to perish from this world. But Ish Shomea, Ratzalomar, even though, continues Mitzvah David, even if in the end of the day he's going to have to suffer the punishment and that he's going to perish, he's going to be removed from this world. His words, though, stick around. That's the problem. Part of the detriment in emitting falsehood and speaking lies is that even if you get punished, and even if people glean the message, they learn the lesson, and they chop the Musar Haskel, aye, but the words stick around. Someone who was listening in the side, they think that it was true, so they start spreading rumors. The next thing you know, what happens? You continue that falsehood, and that's Ishameya Alanetzach Yidaber. Once you bring that word into the world, that's it. You can never go and take it back. And the extreme caution, how wary we have to be with every single word that comes out of our mouths. As we mentioned last week, Rav Yaakov Weinberg Zatzal used to say that there's no coincidence that the word in Lashon HaKodesh for a word is none other than a teva. What is a teva? The ark. The ark encompassed therein the entire Bria. The whole world was contained in Noach's ark. So two entire worlds are contained b'chol teva v'teva. Every word that you utter, you can build a person's life, you can chas v'shalom destroy a person's life. Even if a person's going to be yovei, they themselves might be taken away from the world, but you have to know that the words themselves stick around, ishameo, alanetzach yidaber. That's how the Mitzvah's David learns the Peshuto Shavikra. Arashi, however, says no, Arashi learns it, ishameo, shekiba mashikosu v'torah losan avracha eit shaker. And then Lanetzach Tomid Ish Shomeyov, you listen and you abide by the Torah's commandments not to go ahead and allow falsehood to exit your mouth, then what? You can forever speak. Someone who is Shomeyov, someone who listens to the words and the commands of the Torah, and then Lanetzach Yadaber, you can always be speaking. Everyone talks about the Chavetz Chaim. He never used to go ahead and say a word of Lashon HaRa his whole life. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. There was a bocher once drunk on Purim, and he came with the whole cheder into the Chavetz Chaim's room, and he was severely intoxicated. He came to the Chavetz Chaim, and in front of everybody, he says, "I want to sit in the Chavetz Chaim in the Olam Ha'Emes." I said, "Okay, imagine you want to sit there. How many zechuyos do you need to sit right next to the Chavetz Chaim and Olam Haba?" And everyone said, "He's crazy. He's gone mashugah. He's drunk." So they started pulling him out. Chavetz Chaim says, "No, no. And you can let him stay." And again, Viter, he kept saying the same thing. "I want to sit ach v'rach solely next to the Chavetz Chaim in the Olam Ha'Emes." And he was persistent. Finally, the Chavetz Chaim said, "Okay, bring him close." And this bacha from Radin was brought to the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim said, "I'll tell you what. If you take upon yourself right here and right now, and that you will never say a word of Lashon Hara the rest of your life, like I took on myself, and then you will sit next to me in Gan Eden." So how many of us would have taken him up on that deal? Here was a bacher, 17, 18 years old, make a Kabbalah and a Neder right now that you will never say a word of Lashon Hara, Achilas, Mucha Shemra, and the rest of your life, and you can sit next to me in Olam Haba. And the bacher said, "I can't do it." He said, "Then please leave." He had an opportunity to sit in the Chavetz Chaim. But what? To take it on? How many people could say? Never in my life. Well, so how did the Chavetz Chaim do it? People think, "Oh, Chavetz Chaim was a Tainus Dibur." Tainus Dibur, he didn't speak. Chavetz Chaim was known to speak profusely. He was speaking consistently, always talking more. It's a question of focus. Always never speaking about people. I never speak about individuals. Never speak about anything negative, anything pejorative. Chavetz Chaim was a person known for his unparalleled Simchas Achayim. That's it. Always speaking positively and not speaking about individuals. Chavetz Chaim could go his whole life without ever speaking a word of Lashon Hara. That's what Rashi is here to indicate. If you heed the counsel of the Torah and you guard your mouth from not emitting any falsehood, and then Lanetzach, what does it mean? Eternally, it means Tomen. It means continuously, consistently. You could go ahead and always be a daber and always be speaking. So we have Atzudas David and we have Rashi. Writes the Vilna Go. What are we talking about, Yoveid? We're now talking about the person. Then already we would see more of a direct punishment. Writes the Vilna Go. What does it mean, Yoveid? Eid Ksavim. If you're an Eid Ksavim, you're a person who speaks falsehood, and you use your Koach HaDibur to go ahead and cause other people damage, then you're going to lose Kol Ma Shelamad. All of your Torah you're going to lose. Hashem says, "I'm not going to allow you to keep your Torah." And you're learning Torah, your job is to take that Torah, to share words of Torah. Instead of Torah, you're going to substitute the words of Torah with words of falsehood. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove even the Torah from you. Vishomeya. But the contrast is, writes the Gra, if you're someone who listens to Musar Tochacha, if you're someone who listens when other people give you rebuke and they tell you what to do and not to do, and then Lanetzach Yidaber B'Torah, you can always be speaking in Torah. Or if you're Makabel Tochacha Musar, you should know Lanetzach Yidaber Yadigas Kulam. Yidaber is a lotion of Hanhaga, of rulership. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Dabar Echad is another term for a melech, for a king. You will go ahead and be manic. People will listen to you if they see what? That you're Makabel Tochacha Musar. You will accept rebuke and reprimand. You're someone whose voice will always be heard, or you'll have the schus to always talk and learning because you're not, filling your mouth with falsehood. So thus we have the Metzilas David, we have Rashi, and we have the Vilna Gaon. The question, of course, is what's the Hemshah? We spoke last week about Pasuk of Zayim, Zebarach Rishom Toeva, Avki Bezima Yevieno. Hashem says, "I don't want the karbanos. I don't want the karbanos, the actual offerings, the sacrifices, and I don't want the tefilos of the wicked, of the rishoyim." As writes the Miri and other rishonim, what's the hemshech, the continuation now to pasuk of Ches? Eid Kesavim, meaning what? Someone who doesn't do tshuva, someone who doesn't repent, and says, "I'm going to live life as a rosha, but you know what? I'll daven, I'll bring my karbonos, I'll do my avodo," is fooling himself. So too an ache sovim. It's the same type of thing, writes the Meiri. An ache sovim is what? Someone who has made eid a sheker on somebody else, and that follows from someone who has made eid a sheker on Atzmo. Someone who says, you know what, I'm going to go to the base of Midrash and I'm going to bring a korban, even though I didn't do tshuva yet, as fooling himself. Somebody who says, I'm going to daven after they do many averus. What do? They go into chakras, and right after chakras, they do all these averus. And they're fooling themselves. It's kilu that testifying falsely about themselves. So too, the continuation then leads right into someone who testifies falsely about somebody else. Pasuk Chav Tes. Hayes ish rasha b'fanav. An ish rasha, someone who is an ish rasha. We're not talking about someone who stam does a maisa rishus. Ish always connotes in the Torah someone who is a gavra. The same way the Maral says, anoshim, Rashi tells us frequently, anoshim is equated with tzadikim. Shlach lanu anoshim, they were tzadikim at that point in time. Bachar lanu anoshim, b'yen b'shalach. Anoshim, Rashi says, gibor v'yirechet. So anoshim typically connotes a sense of tzidkus, of righteousness. But, writes the Maral, we find it also used regarding Dasan Aviram. If it's used regarding Dasan Aviram, clearly there are Anoshim Nitz and they're finding they're not Tzadikim. And means what? Someone who is a Gavra. Anoshim means, if we don't give you a context of Rishus, Stam Anoshim connotes a sense of tzidkus. You have three levels. Enosh. Enosh means Stam, the lowliest type of man. Ma'enosh kisis gerenu. When the Malachim say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't give the Torah to man, what do they say? They don't say ma'adam ma'ish kisis gerenu. Ma'enosh, enosh just means plain mortal, physical, flesh and blood man. And what is Adam? Adam is already a whole new level. Adam represents potential. Writes the Maral, why is man called Adam? Adam is lashon adama. What is the adama? Intrinsically, inherently, it has no value whatsoever. A dirt is ubiquitous. It has no value, no price tag. Precisely because it's all over the world. But what is the world? The world only exists because of the adama. Without plants and vegetation and grass and trees and roots, we wouldn't have a world. So you have this dichotomy within the earth itself. Mitzad echad, from one perspective, it has no intrinsic, no inherent value whatsoever. Mitzad sheni, it encompasses therein all the value of the world. All the potential is right there in the Adama. All right, it's the Maral, that's why man is called Adam. Adam is fashioned off from an Adama, but in a more profound sense, explains the Maral, be proud. A man is what? If he doesn't do anything, and then you just remain like the lowly dirt, valueless. But the power of man, woman is what? Is Adam, is Adama, you have the potential to build up the whole world. Then we have the Arizal, the Shlok cut his face in the Zohar. Adam is called Adam, why? Adam Lekel. Adam Lekel, I'm going to make myself like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So now the reason a person is called Adam, I'll give you another reason. Ben Yoyada, Rabbi Yosef, Chaim, the Ben Ishchai, Sota Nafayim and Aleph. How many people go into creating a human being? How many Shufin? Three Shufin. Meseches Nida Daflam and Amud Beis Gimel Shufim Adam Hashem Yisbarach. The Gemara says provides 10 parts, all the Chelek HaRuchni, the spiritual components. The Gemara says the Father provides 5 parts and the Mother provides 5 parts, and that's how the human being is created. Writes the Rebbe Rav Heschel, when Hashem created Adam, what does the pasuk say? Vayitzer, and it says Vayitzer Vav Yud Yud Tzadi Reish, 2 Yuds. Why 2 Yuds? A Vayitzer should be with 1 Yud. Writes the Rebbe Rav Heschel, Adam didn't have any biological parents. There are 20 parts that go into a human being. Hashem gives the 10 spiritual parts. The Father gives 5 and the Mother gives 5. But Adam and Chava, they didn't have any biological parents. Hashem had to do the whole job on his own. There were no Gimel Shufin. There were no 3 partners in the creation of Adam. So writes the Rebbe Rav Heschel, Vayitzer, 2 Yuds. Hashem had to give a yud and a yud, 10 and 10, 20. All the parts had to come from Hashem because there were no biological parents. That's the Churkas HaTorah. I will listen to this one, you'll never forget, the Ben Yoyada, Mesech HaSotan of Hayim and Aleph. Where's the Remez? Man is called Adam. What's the beginning of an Adam? Aleph. Who is the Aleph of the world? Writes the Midrash also, Rabbi Akiva. Aleph of the world is Hashem Yisbarach. He is called Aluf HaShalolam. Aluf, like Aluf Ace of Lahabdil, means a chief and officer. The chief officer of the world is Hashem. That's the Aleph. That's why the Torah begins with what letter? Beis. Because the Torah is existing outside of Aleph. Aleph is Echad, Yochad, and Yuchad, 1, which is not joined with anything else. Hashem now creates a world outside of himself, Kaviyachol. And the Torah Memela therefore starts Bedafka with the nose base outside of the Os Aleph, the same way a father is called an Aleph, because a man starts as an Aleph. Once he has a child, he has a doubling over of his essence. Once he doubles over himself, the Aleph, he now is a person who exists outside of himself, and that's the base. When you add a base onto the Aleph of man, what does he become? An Aleph? Aleph is Aleph and base. Amela, that's why he's an Aleph. That is the Hemshech. That's why the Bukhar writes the Vilna Gaon, the first child that made him into an Aleph is the doubling over. He was an Aleph. Through having the child, he now became a base. He was 1 plus 1 equals 2. So he's now the doubling over of the Aleph. He becomes an Aleph and base. So writes the Gra, why do we call the oldest son a Bukhar? And because he is doubling over. What's a Bukhar? Base Chaf Reish. A base in the doubles, the Aleph in the single digits. The Chaf doubles the Yud in the tens. And the Reish doubles the Kuf in the hundreds. Bukhar. And that's why Bukhar gets Pishnayim, because that's exactly what he did. A Bukhar Ba'etzim writes, the Gra doubled over his father. The Melamita Kenegamita. He doubled over his father by turning him from an Aleph into an Aleph. Aleph into a base, mainly gets Pishnayim. That's the doubling over. Bachar, that's why the word bracha is what? When you have something, and I give you a bracha, it's doubling it over. That's base Chaf Reish. A spring is called a brecha. Starts at one little point, and then it keeps doubling over itself. That's a brecha. Again, the Shorash, the etymology, base, Chaf, and Reish. Har Kavo, when you want to graft, what do? You want to graft this plant onto that plant. You're starting with A, and then you want to add on to it. That is base Chaf Reish. A king wants to take his sense of sovereignty and majesty and disseminate it worldwide. He goes into the golden chariot, into a Merkava. A Merkava, again, Reish Chaf Beis. He wants to double over his sense of majesty and kingship by taking it all over the world. That is Beis Chaf Reish, Birkayim. That is a way of the knees. It's how we jump higher and go ever higher. Double ourselves over, Kilo through the Birkayim Kvitsa. It's always adding on to the idea that's base Chaf and Reish. So that's the Aleph. Hashem's called the Aleph of the world. Hashem's name is Merumah, is subtly hinted to in the Lashon of the Aleph itself. Writes the Din of Rebbe, the Bnei Yisachar, and in Sefer Rebbe Yeshua number 246. How do we break down an Aleph? There's a bump in the middle, a Yud on top, and a Yud on bottom. That's Gematria 26. So the Aleph is the Aleph of the world. That's Hashem, the beginning of it all. He's called the Aleph. Aleph yields Gematria with the composition of the letter itself. Above and two Yuds is Gematria 26, Gematria Shemavaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Then we get to the rest of Adam. What's after Hashem gives us the sense of he's the first Shutov. Then we have Dalet Mem. What is Dalet Mem? So writes the Bnei Yod, the Dalet Mem is Gematria 44. Who else do we need? We need an Av and we need an Ein. Av is Gematria 3, Amos Gematria 41. What's 3 and 41? 44, Gematria Adam. Adam, what does it take to create an Adam? Shlosha Shutfim Adam. We need three partners in creation, and it's Merumas in the word Adam itself. Aleph is the beginning, that's Hashem, the Aleph of the world. Gematria 26, Adal and Mem is Gematria 44, Gematria Av and A. Wow. The Ramami Pano adds, that's why we have Aleph and Dam. Haki Adamu Anefesh, Dam symbolizes the Chelik HaGashmi, and Aleph symbolizes the Chelik HaRuchni. And that's also the combination, that's what goes into creating Adam. In addition, writes from Shamshon Fuller Hirsch, another reason why a man is called Adam, has Miloshen Hadom Raglai, the Novi Yeshaya, in Samach Vav Aleph, Aretz Hadom Raglai. The earth is the figurative footstool of the Almighty. What does that mean? How do we see Hashem look around the world? Through the others, through the tzaddikim. You can either see a piece of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then you can draw the conclusion Hashem is in Shemayim above. Adam is supposed to be that vehicle, and that through, when you see someone who is reclining on a lazy boy, and that person has his or her legs up on a, the feet are up inanimate. So what do you know? If you don't see the person, but you see the feet, you know there's a person sitting there on the lazy boy. Have you seen an Adam? And the way you know the max in this world, manifesting godliness and Torah and Ruchnius out here in this world, and then through the Adam you could see that person is Hadom Raglai, is the footstool of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So many ideas go into why man is called Adam. That is the middle level. Then we have Ish. What is Ish? Ish highlights Agava. Enosh is plain mortal flesh and blood. Someone who is not doing anything with his or her life. Just man as is. Adam is a man in terms of potential. The potential to be Adam Lekel. Potential to connect Ruchnius with Gashmius. Ish is someone who is a Gavra. Someone who now is in control. Someone who's on top. So Stam Anoshim will be Tzadikim. Or if used in a context of wickedness, like Dosan and Aviram, then it'll mean, like the Maral says, it'll mean they're the Gavra of Rishis. So what does Shlomo say? Hey, is Ish Rasha Befanov. We're not talking about Stam Rasha. Someone who's an Ish Rasha, that means through and through, that person is one in one with wickedness. And that type of person, hey, Ace, Aziz shows the brazenness and audacity Befanov, even on his face. Meaning it's through and through. And the Maral tells us repeatedly, what do we call the face of a person? Panim. Because through the Panim, you get a glimpse of the Panim. You get a glimpse of the Panimiyut through the Panim. And you can always see what a person's emotional state is based on their panim, based on their panimius. So someone who is an Ish Rasha is so infused with wickedness that it's through and through, they can't even hide their audacity. And their audacity and their chutzpah is seen mamish on the face itself. Rashi writes, HaRosha Mara Azusa B'Shas Kaso. He can't control it. Rashi Yening Ana, what I told you now was really the Metzudas David. Hamatzidus David says, "Harosh Mara Azusa Beis Kasev Lo Yisponim Maisa." So Rashi here, Matzidus said, they can't control themselves to the point that the wickedness is so part of them. When they get angry, it just comes right out and shows itself on the face.
Didn't Yaakov see Laban and his face change?
And his face changed. Same type of idea.
Yeah.
Because the Rishon, the non-control, Ezo Gibor Kaveshes Yitzro. The Rishon were an Ish Rasha. It's mamash all over their panim, and they can't hide it. It's through and through. It's mamash a part of their panimius. That's what Chazal say. Rasham afilo pesa shagehenim einam chozrim b'tshuva. A real Rasha through and through. Even when they get up to Gehenim, they can't do tshuva. It's so part of them already. It's so a chelik of their metzias, and that's it. That's all they know is rishis. In fact, it's very relevant to what we just laid at the end of Ayera, Parshas Akeda. Everyone asked the question, what was the Golda Hani Yisoyim? So there are many different shatim. I'll share with you briefly a Sfasemis because it connects, and really the Sfasemis connects to the beginning of Vayera as well. Avraham Avinu teaches us, he's in the middle of a conversation with Hashem at the beginning of last week's parasha, and then he says, oh, Anna Savra Mi'alavdecha, I see guests, please Hashem, let me excuse myself and take care of the guests. And from that, Chazal deduce, at Gemara and Shabbos, the bottom of 127a, Gedol Achnosis Orchem Yosu Mikabolus Panei Ashkina, and it has halacha l'maisa ramifications. Halacha l'maisa, somebody comes to the door and you're about to daven, and you have a guest, and they need a bed to lie on, they need some food, they need a cup of coffee. All right, so Shulma Zaman Orbach, and the Sefer Alicha Shulma and Tvila, you take care of the guest before you go and daven. Halacha l'maisa, Rav David Lifshitz, a Sivaka Rav, somebody once visited him by Yeshiva University. And he wasn't expecting the person to come with his wife. So he thought, when the person comes, we'll go out to mincha together. Once the wife came, says, we can't go out to mincha together, then we're going to leave the wife here. That's not a chnosis orchid. So he says, no, we're going to daven here. Says, Rabbi Hakum, we're going to miss a little bit tzibor. Says, gedola chnosis orchim yosu mekabolas panei ashchina. First, we have to take care of the guests. It's even greater from Avraham Avinu. The question is, how did Avraham Avinu know that? Avraham Avinu was introducing that halacha to us. How did he know? He's in the middle of talking to God. He sees the three guests coming along, and now he makes the cheshvan, I'm going to tell God, please Hashem, please, I ask you kindly, wait here for me, and let me tend to these guests, and then I'll come back. How did he know that that was the halacha? We learned it from what he did, but how did he know, asked the mefarshim? Yes?
So, my question is this. Hashem, was the guest a guest? Was the first guest? How could you leave your first guest?
Okay, so even though Hashem, yes, is a guest, but he's not, we're not making the mitzvah of Chanosis Orchim with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The same with the Malachim. Moshe says to the Malachim, there might be a concept of Chanosis Orchim, but in the end of the day, you don't have parents, in the end of the day, you can't feed them. We can't tend to a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that practically fulfills the mitzvah of Chanosis Orchim. So it's a similar idea to Chanosis Orchim. In the end of the day, who is the greatest Machnas Areach? You know what we have to do? Who's the greatest Machnas Arech in the world? God. He created the world. He owns it all, and he's letting us be his Orchim. He's letting us be guests in his world. But we can't really reciprocate accordingly. We can't be Machnas Arech. So Avraham Avinu makes the Cheshvan. How do you know? So someone before Hashem, right? That he knew because his body was so in tuned with the Rotzen HaBore. his body was so infused with Torah that it knew automatically and instinctively to do the right thing. And the same way the Rechaim Soloveitchik said about his Talmud, or Baruch Bar Leibowitz, that it got to a Madrega in Yer Shemayim, he says he doesn't get any reward anymore for not doing any Aveiros. That's what he said about his Talmud. He says because his Talmud was such a pachat, such a Yiras Achet, he didn't have Bechira Chavshus anymore. Now that means that he gets unbelievable reward for taking himself to that Madrega. But once he got to that Madrega, wasn't in his sign anymore. And was what, he couldn't sin, he had such a pachat from doing an Aveiro. So that's the idea here as well. Avraham Avinu was so one and one with the Torah that he knew, hey, wait a second, I'm talking about Kodesh Baruch Hu, and now all of a sudden I see guests, and my body is telling me, get up and go take care of the guests. How could that be? It must be that the Ratzon of the Torah, Hashem is hinting to me, that really that's where I'm supposed to go. What does David HaMelech write? I get up in the morning, I might want to go out to the field, but Raglei Malicha Sosi, my feet always take me where? To the base medrash. It's automatic, so the Sassema says, that's what made the Nisan of the Akedah so much greater. According to that way of thinking, the Sassemis writes, when it came to Akedas Yitzchak, so what was the real Ratz and Habore? To Shecht or not to Shecht? Not to Shecht. So if in the end of the day we know from Lemafreya retroactively that Hashem never really wanted him to kill, that means that the hidden, the Pnimius Ratz and Hashem was what? Was not to kill his son. That means the Galus of Avram is Hashem tells him, I want you to go ahead and check your son. And now what? Avram, what? My body's not responding. It's not responding. If I'm one and one with the ruts and I'm all right, and then I should get up right out of bed and I should get going. The godless was that even though his body wasn't, and why wasn't it right to Sassas? Because his body couldn't, because the real ruts and Hashem was not the Shech to Yitzchak. So a body that's in tune with the ruts and the Torah can't go ahead and be. And even so, he overcame that laziness. And he overcame it by Yashkim Avram Aboker. And he still got up later and he still ran to do it with alacrity, with zeal and enthusiasm. That was part of the galus of the Nisai. But that's what it means. A person's body is so trained, can't do it. There are people after you have a good davening, after Yom Kippur, you go home, say Yom Kippur. And you can't. Even if you want to turn on the TV and watch a certain show, you can't. It's in your blood, and you love Yom Kippur, it's in your blood. You can't do it. It's automatic. What happens is feeling wears off a little bit after time. And Yom Kippur is behind us, etc. But if you're so infused with the Ratz HaTorah, your body doesn't even allow you to do those Aveiros. And that's how he's the Rosh Hashanah. He has no control. The anger just comes out. It's all one-on-one with that person. And you can see the anger, you can see it on their face. But a Yashar, a person who is upright, who is straight, like the Avos are called Yasharim, Bilam says, Thomas Nafshi, Mos Yasharim, Avodah Zarah 25a, he wants to die the death of the Avos who are called Yasharim, who Yachin Darko, he knows how to fashion, how to establish his way. What way are we talking about? Again, many different pshatim. Rav Saja Gaon says, the Yashar knows, that's the contrast to the Rasha, stay away, stay, keep a derech, go in a different path than the Rasha, stay as far away as you can, and when you see the Rasha fall in his derech, make sure to learn the right lessons and get the right messages. That's our Sajigo. However, and we have the Rabag. Listen to a Rabag, a very Yesodistic Rabag. And the Rabag writes as follows. Rabag writes that he may lobe pig levan yachlik a rasha, a mashem machshavto, and you have a person who's an ish rasha, so what happens? Gam eponav heiz lachlik aleh, mash omeitz ponav achaskim shle yisigim ashinim asfalus arosh yosik betorah p'nei mishi damar debra chazah. Writes the Rabag, usually a person who orders falsehood, what happens? You don't like this. Nobody likes to lie. You know it's not a good thing to do. And there's a sense of shame that overtakes the face. And you can very often tell if a person's lying. But someone who is such a liar, that's mamish, it's in their blood. And the Gemara says in Yuma and Moi Katamisha, Avar Avera Vishanabo Nasis Lo Keheter, someone who lives a life of an Ish Rasha. They're through and through wicked, they're always lying. And then Rabbah says, you don't even see it on the face anymore. Usually you wouldn't see the rishis on the face. On the contrary, when a person's lying, a little child, right, he stuck his hand in mommy's cookie jar and he stole those chocolate cookies. Oh, you can see how. You see the innocence, and he doesn't want to lie, so you can see it. But someone who is so through and through a Rasha, you don't even say, they don't even hide their shame anymore. Amna ma'isha yosha yovin belibo darko, asha yaro babapiv, uber torpana, meaning what? Writes the Rabag is, chitzonios matches the pinimios. It's piv velibo shavin. That's an ish yosha. What is yosha? Honesty, integrity, straight and upright. What you see is what you get. And the inside matches the outside. And that is Tochu Kavoro, and that is a Yashur Yochan Darko, is someone who says, what? I'm going to fashion and establish my path and make sure that I walk down the path I truly believe in, and I look like the person who believes in this path. I want to feel it, I want to look like it, and I want to be a Yashur as opposed to the Rasha, and that is an Avram Avinu. Writes the Netziv in his Avdama Tabrashis, why are the Avos in fact called Yasharim more than they're called Tzadikim? Noach was also a tzaddik. Noach is tzaddik tamayim v'darosav. But Avram Avinu started a new concept, that of a yashar, tamas nafshi mos yasharim. What does it mean a yashar as opposed to a tzaddik? Tzaddikim yisuchav yasharim ya'alozu, yashar is a higher madrega, writes in the tziv. A tzaddik is, you do everything kedas v'kedim. Whatever the Torah tells you to do, you do the aseis, and you don't transgress the los aseis. You're a good Jew. You do that which you're supposed to do. A yashar is a higher madrega. What's a yashar? And you care about what? That the world has to be, not just yourself. The world has to be yashar. The world has to do what it's supposed to be doing. And you care about everyone, all the creations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who davens for Sodom and Amorah? Avraham Avinu, why? I want to know gaya to you. Because I need Hashem's world to be perfect. I want everyone to be upright. If you're a real Eben Hashem, and you're an Eben, for example, working for a king on a farm, and a king has a huge farm, and he says, I want you to take care of the farm, and you do your aisles, and you do your roles, and everything is good, but nobody else does their job, king's not going to be happy with you. A real Eben Hashem says, I want to make sure the whole farm looks good, and the whole farm is properly harvested, etc. And that's an Eben Hashem. Yashar is, I want the world to be Yashar. I want to make sure that Lotus Tshuva, I want to make things right between the four kings and the five kings, Avimelech and Paru, etc. I want everyone to do the right thing. That is Avraham Avinu, and that's a Yashar, and that is dominating for Sodom and Amorah, because I want the world to be perfect. That is Yashar. And that's what Nimrod couldn't stand. Nimrod couldn't stand, why do you have to throw this guy into the Kibshan Eish? Why do you have to throw in Avraham? What is he bothering you? What's he bothering you? Avraham Ivri. What's the definition of Avraham? Ivri. What's Ivri? Everyone, Rav Yehuda writes in the Medrash, is on one side of the river and he's all alone on the other side of the river. See, he's not bothering you. I mean, he's not bothering you. Why? The answer is explained to Moshe Shapiro. You know what bothered Nimrod? Remember, who is Nimrod? Let's look at his name and his essence. Rashi says, and Parshas Noach, Yodea Esri Bono, Veneskaven Limrod Bo. He is the one who started a rebellion. That is Nimrod. He is Mr. Rebellion. And now it's fascinating. He is Mr. Rebellion. What Avla did Nimrod do in the world? Who was in charge of Dor HaFlaga, the era of dispersion? Who said we're going to wage war against God? Nimrod. How did he decide to wage war against the Almighty? And we know from learning Chumash, and all your children, we have the Tower of
Babel.
Was that the only thing the Pesukim say? Now all the kids grow up, they learn about the Tower of Babel. Read the Pesukim though again. And what did Nimrod say? Hava nivne lano ir umigdal. Let's build a city. It's not just the Tower of Babel. It's first and foremost, let's build the city of Babel and the Tower of Babel. What's that idea? Writes Rav Moshe David Vali, Talmud Chaver of the Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lutzado, and a Sefer Likutim. And I heard this from Moshe Shapiro as well. What's the biggest merida in the history of the world? Yashka, Christianity. What has taken over the world? The biggest rebellion is what is taking away the Aleph of Hashem's Echad, Yochad, and Yuchad, and now creating a concept of a Trinity and the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, and rebelling against your Christianity. Well, Shlomo already tells us, nothing is new under the sun. So where was the precursor? Where was the beginning of Christianity? Writes from Moshe David Vali, and in Sefer Likutim, a big Mekubal, from the Beis Medrash of the Ramchal, and the origin of the Christian cross was back in Parshas Noach. They wanted to build an ear, umigdal. What is an ear? Horizontal imperialism. The world over here belongs to us. What is a migdal? The world above belongs to us. But remember, the higher you go, the deeper into the ground you have to dig. The origin of the Christian cross is what? The first rebellion against God. Couched in the backdrop of the first rebellion against God was what? God, you don't own the world. What do you mean? Lashar on some law. No, we own the world. Arts and us and the other. The world is now ours. It's ours in a horizontal plane and it's ours in a vertical plane. We own the world down here going across. All of the horizontal world belongs to us and all of the vertical world belongs to us. What is that? The Christian cross. That is the origin of the Christian cross. the first rebellion against God, it's let's build an Eretz Yisrael. So now, what was his cheshbon? What was he thinking? And let's go back and I will explain to Moshe. You think you're going to beat God? What is it? That means Yodei Yesibono. Remember, his name is not, there's no God. His name is Nimrod. Rashi says, Yodei Yesibono means he knows God. Umechami Nimrodo. And he has Kavana to rebel. So you know God. What do you think? You think you're going to fight God? We're going to get to this now at the end of the parak about you can have all the horses in the world. Who decides the victor in any battle in any war? The omnipotent Almighty. So what are you thinking? Explain to Moshe, listen to this. Hashem and the world knew this. Everybody knew about Dor HaMabul. Everyone knew about the flood. Everyone got destroyed. So what was going to be after the flood? Paro knew that he could drown the Jewish boys. Kol HaBein HaYilo, they have to go in the water. Why? Because God already promised he's not going to destroy the world with water again. The world knew that God, after in the aftermath of the flood, of the great Dayush, he made a covenant with the world. He says, I'm not going to destroy the entire world again. Okay? I'm not going to destroy the entire world again. So Nimrod says, no problem. I don't want to have to serve God. I want what? Hefker. What's the root of all Avodah Zarah? We want to serve ourselves. We don't want to listen to any rules, regulations. We don't want any Torah. Nobody, they don't like the Jews. Why? Because we're the moral conscience of the world, right? Let's get rid of the moral social conscience of the world, the moral compass. I mean, like the biggest compliment that Senator Lieberman got in the Senate was this Orthodox Jew was our moral compass. It was one of the biggest compliments that he got. We are the social, the moral compass of the world. And everyone says, I don't want to have to do God's will. I want to do whatever I want. The problem is what? As long as there's even one person who remains, then Hashem could destroy everybody in the world and then rebuild through that one person. By chet egel, what did Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu? The Gemara brachas daf lamed beis amud aleph. Hair from me many vash v'dei. Klai Yisrael sin of the golden calf. Let me destroy and wipe out the Jewish people, but I'll start again from you. I'll create a new Jewish people from you. But Hashem never threatened you. You can never destroy Klai Yisrael entirely. Even when they sink to Memta Shari Tumo, I'll wipe them out and I'll start a new Klai Yisrael from you. I said, what's the problem with that? Explains the Maral in his Hagdamah to Gurus Hashem. Moshe says, I don't want a new Klai Yisrael. Moshe, the love Klai Yisrael, says, we are the people we are because we're the Bnei Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And I don't want to change that. Can you imagine? You're told you could start Moshe Rabbeinu, could be the new Av. Then he says, I don't want that. That's not Klai Yisrael. The Klai Yisrael that I know, that I love, is a Klai Yisrael that's the continuation of our Ovis and Emos. That's the Bnei Yisrael. So he dominates for Klai Yisrael. Okay? Nimrod says, if I get everybody in the world on my team, and we own this world on a horizontal plane, and we build a tower, and show God that all the airspace vertically is owned by us as well. We say, no, we're not going to climb to the heavens and do a physical war. This world belongs to us. When God can stay up in Shemayim, this world belongs to me, Nimrod says. Hashem can destroy Nimrod as long as there's one Jew called Avram, Ha'ivri, who's on the other side of the river. I can destroy this world, and I can build a new world through Avram. Explains on Moshe Shapiro. The reason why Nimrod says I have to throw Avram into a Kivshan Ha'esh is because he can't be Avram Ivri. If he stays alone on the other side of the river, then my plan will never succeed. Because my plan is to force the hand of God by saying, what if I get every person alive in the world to join my rebellion? Then we've backed God Kaviyochel into a corner. Because God can't destroy the world. We are the world. We're all the same people. It's all or nothing. He can't destroy us. As long as there's one iconoclast, one person who separates from society and is on the other side of the river, then Hashem can destroy all of our society and rebuild through Avram. And that's why it's so infuriated in Nimrod. He had no choice, explains to Moshe, I'm about to throw him into the fire furnace. I have to try and get rid of him because I know that he's the future of the world, and that is by Avraham. Bishvil Avram, the whole world was kedai for Avraham. Instead, Hashem says, I'm not going to destroy them. I'll scatter them. But in the end of the day, it's all because of that Avram who is separate. Amela, that is the first Yasha. Avram Avinu says, I want the world to be right. I want everyone to behave. I want everything to be the way Hashem wants it to be. And that is Yashu Yochandarko. That is the one who established his path. And that's why we're introduced to Avram. And when he starts, Parshas Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, go on the Derech, go on your own Derech. Leave home and leave the Derech of old. And now start what? Fashion and establish your own derech in life. You got to leave your home and now set your own way as the Avram was going to begin at Klai Yisrael.
Isaac Kree Ksiv.
Again, a lot of times by any Kree and Ksiv, just like the Gemara talks about Yeshua, there's something to take out of the Kree, there's something to take out of the Ksiv. over here again, I can't tell you exactly why we have it this way, but there are two ideas here. One is Yochum, which is establishing and setting it in. The other one is Yavindarko, that he understands this way. It's not enough to establish a way. It has to be open. You have to go in and use your brain and understand why it's the right way, why it's the right path in life. Ein chokhma v'ein tivuna v'ein etzel l'neged Hashem. Poshim shat, we take a look at Rashi. Ein chokhma v'novan choshev l'neged Hashem, komokom sheishchol Hashem yichokim kol l'rav. And this is Rashi based on Chazal. You can have the wisest, most understanding people in the world, and it's null and void when faced up against Hashem's Rotzon. If there's ever a Maisech Hashem, Ein Chol can cover the Rav. The Gemara brings this, for example, in Sanhedrin, Pei Beisim, and Aleph. Pinchas, in the end of the day, he did ask Moshe Rabbeinu permission. Halach L'Maisi, he was not obligated to. Why? Because of the Maisi, the despicable, pathetic act of Cosby and Zimri. Pinchas knew, I don't even have to be Cholik cover the Rav. I don't have to go ahead and ask Moshe Rabbeinu permission first. Why? Because when there's a Chil Hashem Shemayim, all the chokhmah, all the world, all the wisdom, all the tuna, all the understanding, and all the etzah, all the counsel, and all the advice is null and void when it is a Chil Hashem. And that's how Rashi learns. Let's take a look at the Rabbah. The Rabbah says different. The Rabbah says, Hinei lo toa chokhmah tuna ma'etzah ma'ashi yashav adam la'asos v'neged Hashem. You can think you're going to memorize everything. You're going to know everything there is to know in the world. And maybe I can outsmart Hashem with all the wisdom in the world. It doesn't even begin at zero neged Hashem. All the chokhmah and all the tuna and all the etzah is zero neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Afim yischakim yispon v'yikach bo etzah. Hayoser nechona. If you think, you know what? I'm going to go out and study. I'm going to come up with all the strategies and the military tactics. And you cannot alter the gezeirah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what Hashem wants to happen is going to be the plan that's going to actualize. And what example does he give us? And he says many sipurim throughout Tanakh, especially like Mechiras Yosef. And what happened to Mechiras Yosef? You think you're going to go ahead and you're going to kill Yosef and tell Yosef? And God says, you just wait. And the end of the day, I'm going to have Yosef in Mitzrayim. Whose plan is going to win out? It's always going to be the plan of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't go ahead and be Mashad of those Gezeris. That's Mahalech approach number one. Ed's the Rabbah. Efshar another Mahalech. Shearotzim Bazeh. Kilot et story chachmotun of eight of Ishtablus, Vagos Chavetzov, Nasher Neganashim et slow. If you are Dovuk with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you make yourself one and one with the Rotzen Hashem and the Rotzen HaTorah, you do not need chachmotun of eight of Negan Hashem. That means what? Not Negan Hashem against Hashem. Negan Hashem writes the Rabbah, could also be understood. I am opposite Hashem. I am always Omei Negan Hashem, Shemisi Hashem, the Negdi Summit. If you're always opposite Hashem, always loving Hashem, you don't need chachmah. And you don't need tzvunah, you don't need eitzah. And you know automatically and instinctively to do the right thing. And Hashem's going to take care of you like he takes care of the tzaddikim. Even if you don't have all the chokhmah, and you don't have all the tunah, and you don't have all the eitzah. So in the end of the day, a person can't think that all the wisdom is going to get you to be meshana the gezeirah. It's always going to be what Hashem wants. That's approach number one. Approach number two is, if you're always standing neged Hashem, and then you have nothing to worry about. I know, so Eitzel just means I could be adjacent. This is also Eitzel. Reuben is Eitzel. I don't want to be that. Negan means I'm facing opposite. Shavisti Hashem l'negdi summit is. And what is the Pasuk in Tehillim? Shavisti Hashem l'negdi summit is. I place Hashem negdi is opposite me. That means I'm facing Hashem. Someone who's standing next to you, it's not the same thing. When you're learning with somebody else, you want to face another person. You're having a conversation. And that means you're mamash with them. Someone who is only Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not as close to someone who is Neged HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when Hashem speaks to Moshe, what is the term? Ponim aponim, face to face. Pe'pel davarbo, someone standing next to you, it's not face to face. Closest relationship is, and that's the negative. You're mamash connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't need all the chokhmah and all the tefillin. It's a very sad story. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky used to bring out, flesh out the point how one person could change the world. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that the Chavetz Chaim, when he was a youngster, I was learning in a base medrash in Europe, and a person who was had already succumbed to Haskalah started to influence. He already saw this child prodigy. Chavetz Chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir Cohen Kagan, was already known as a brilliant youngster. So everybody, just like the stories of Rav and Kotler, everybody knew that when you were talking about Haskalah and the Enlightenment and Reform, they did their research. Who are the prodigies? They wanted to get the top minds. So there was a maskil who would go and follow the Chafetz Chaim as a youngster to try and seduce him and lure him into Haskalah. And there was a Yid, supposedly he was a water carrier, a regular Pashat Yid. And this water carrier heard that this Maskil was after the Chafetz Chaim, and he came into the Beis Medrash one day when the Maskil wasn't around. He told the Chafetz Chaim, he says, I know what his plans are. He's trying to get you to go away from the Torah, etc. Run away from here as far as you can. And he ran away and he went to a whole different neighborhood. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, you see that water carrier? Nobody even knows his name. And nobody knows anything about him. And right now he's in Gan Eden. And an amazing Gan Eden. Why? Because the Chafetz Chaim became who he became. Because of this water carrier making sure that he left. So he wouldn't be negatively influenced. One person could change the world. But as Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Albert Einstein grew up in a traditional home. Supposedly, Einstein grew up in a traditional home. It's not clear how observant Shabbos, etc., his parents were, but supposedly he was going to have a bar mitzvah. He was going to have a bar mitzvah, and he was preparing at 12 years old for his bar mitzvah, Albert Einstein, and he knew a little bit of Torah, he knew a little bit of learning, and a friend of his went and got him, someone who had already succumbed to Haskalah, went and got him a set of encyclopedias. And instead of learning the Sfarim, he put the Sfarim aside. He was so taken by the encyclopedias. And he sat up all night reading the encyclopedias cover to cover. And he said, that's it. I got my wisdom. I don't need the Torah anymore. And that turned him off the Derech. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, look, what an Albert Einstein could have been, one of the Gedolei Hador. And instead of Adam Baum and equals MC squared in the end of the day, imagine we could have had another Rav Chaim Brisker, another Rav Chaim. We would have called him Rav Albert, the Rebbe Rav Albert. You know, Albert a Rebbe, Einstein a Rebbe. Imagine what he could have become. But what? One guy got in that encyclopedia and lured him into enlightenment, and we lost an Einstein. One person could change the whole world. We have to know all the Chochmah and all the Twin Honor, the Eitzah, and it comes from where? It comes from Chochmah Satorah. A person can outsmart the Torah.
Person can ask way anyway.
What that Einstein should be? Oh, so I will tell you, Rav Hunter, again, I'm not here to judge any Jew. I'm not here to judge Albert Einstein, etc. But again, there are biographies about Albert Einstein about the type of person he was in his private life, etc. Was not necessarily, again, you know, a lot of different stories out there. But in the end of the day, Rav Hunter is a fascinating piece of Maimar Tzesapach Yitzchak and Chanukah. We have a Gemara Brochas. What happens if you see a Jewish Talmid Chacham? Again, it's a Shailo, what's called the Talmid Chacham is Manenu. And the Poskim Sefer Shul Kamenetsky says you can make the Brocha with Shema Malchus and sing Rav Chaim Kanevsky and Rav Aaron Leib Steinman and Rav Yosef when he was alive and Rav Adi Yosef when he was alive. Halacha L'maisa, the Gemara says a Brochas, if you see a Talmid Chacham, you make a Brocha, Brocha Tashem Okinim Acholom, Shecholok Mechachmosu Lireyav. That Hashem has given over a piece of His wisdom of the Chochmas HaTorah to those who fear. And you make the bracha with Shema Malchus. Now the minhag is that we don't make it stam in a Talmid Chacham today. We don't know what level Talmid Chacham warrants such a blessing. But the poskim all agree, if you see Rav Chaim Kanevsky in every Chanukah, I met Hashem in about 2 months, when we go to Etzel, I try my best to go to Bnei Brak, and I try to see the Gedolim, and I make the bracha, and I make it out loud, and they never said it's a bracha levatol. You know, there are stories that some people go to Gedolim, and they say the bracha levatol, and they say, no, bracha levatol, right? That's the anivus. But they know who they are. Somebody once came to Moshe Feinstein, and asked Moshe Feinstein, can I make the bracha on you, or Shem Malka? He said, yeah. He said, yes. You have a chiv to make the bracha. Ramosha knew who he was an unbelievable honor. Incredibly modest, but if you ask Moshe Feinstein a Lach Lamaisa question, he has to answer. So he says, yes, can't say, you can make the bracha. He knew who he was. Rav Chaim Kanevsky said, the people, they answer me. Said, there's some people today you make the bracha. What happens if you see a Goyish scientist? What's the bracha? There's a bracha. If you would see a Goyish scientist, if you would see Isaac Newton today, you would see Thomas Alva Edison today, you make a bracha, Shenason Hamei Chachmoso Labosu Adah. It's not cholok because it's not a chelik of the Chochmas HaTorah. It's only Nasan Hashem gave him a gift. He gave him a matana. It's not to be Reyav. He doesn't fear Hashem. But it's the Bas V'dam. Shenosan Mechamos Bas V'dam. And you make the bracha. And what happens if you see a Jewish scientist? Or what about a guy who memorizes Kol Torah Kula? What do you think? Mishan Abrias. Rav Hunter writes, there is no bracha. If you would see Albert Einstein today, and you see a brilliant Einstein, who was Time's man of the century, a physicist, world famous physicist. I gave his theories, relativity, so much he gave the world. Taught the Princeton University for years, and what? You would not make a bracha. If you see a guy who memorizes Kol HaTorah Kulo on his fingertips, photographic memory, and he memorizes everything, and they make a bracha, no. Why? Explains Rav Hutner. Because the bracha is that the person's doing what he ought to be doing. And the bracha is not just on the wisdom of the Torah, but make a bracha when you see a Sefer Torah. Make a bracha when you're holding a Bar Ilan CD. You got code, you got everything. You can have a little CD today, and you can put what? You can put there, you have a HebrewBooks.com. You have now Bar Ilan CDs that have over 70,000 Sfarim, which, by the way, is only a drop in the bucket. But imagine you could have Tanakh, Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Kol Torah Kula, and 70,000 Sfarim on a disc. When they showed the first CD to Rav Shach, and they said, what do you think of this? You have so much Torah on a disc. He says, it's a gewaltige Sache. It's a great thing. He says, the problem is you can't kiss a CD. You can kiss a Sefer. You can't kiss a CD. We have institutions for people like that. But at the end of the day, you have Kol Torah Kula, you can put on a CD. I put on a CD, it's amazing. And you don't make a bracha, why? Because it's only when a person spends his life taking that information and putting and making himself one-on-one with that Torah. Or this wisdom, Chochma Begayim Talmud, there is wisdom of music, of art, of science, astronomy, astrology, of physics and biology and chemistry, and history, of course, philosophy, there's Chochma, Chochma Begayim Talmud. And there's Zayin Chochmas, Kenegad Zayin Kanei Hamanorah. Of course there's wisdom out there. So who is supposed to master that wisdom? The non-Jew is now commanded to learn Torah. If that non-Jew takes all the wisdom in the secular world and masters it and is brilliant, then of course we make a bracha. We recognize they have that matana from Hashem and they used it accordingly. And that's what they're supposed to do. But what happens if you see a Jew who is supposed to know Kol Torah Kula and instead he knew all the physics? What happens if you see a guy who's supposed to know physics, but instead he spends his time memorizing the Babylonian Talmud? At the end of the day, you don't make a bracha. We're now machshev then. We're machshev when the person is one-on-one with his or her tafket. That's what we're machshev. That's the whole meaning in life, is to do what our tafket is. And that is the goal. So let's just finish up. The last pasuk is it connects to this idea as well. And we close Perach Chavalov. Sus, amuch on the yom mochama. You can have a horse who is all prepared and all ready to go for war, v'lashem ha'teshua. Who's going to be the one to guarantee victory? And this is Mamash HaHemshech, all the Rishonim make it very clear, that what? This is one-on-one with Pasuk Lamed. And the end of the day, you can have all the Chachma and all the Tuna and all the Eitzah. Nothing's going to stand up to Hashem. You could go out to war and you can have a horse. That is right. You can have the mightiest black stallion. And the end of the day, who's going to guarantee the victory and the salvation, l'Hashem? Our Moshe Shapiro says, you know when? We're going to have Mashiach. What do we say in Tehillim and Kapitel Chav? Eile v'rechav ve'ile v'asusim. The goyim of the world, they have all. They have the rechav. Anachna v'shem Hashem elokeinu naskir. We go out to war v'shem Hashem. He says, you know why Mashiach's not here yet? Or Moshe Shapiro said this out loud? Because look what's happening in the world today. We're going and say, oh, we got the best army. We got the best army. We have Tzahal. We have the United States Army. We got tanks. We got nuclear weapons. We got all the goods. We got the arms. We got the best tanks. We got the best air force. And the best trained soldiers. We got everything. It says, I'm the Hamdil. And the Arabs are going out saying, Allah Akbar. Oh, we're going out in the name of God. Rabbi Shmuel says, you know when Mashiach's going to come? And when we change our mindset and our perspective. And we realize it's not about our army. It's not about our military prowess. Yes, we have to do that. We have a Chiv Ishtalus. Atzer Ben Yonah says, why even mention the Sus? Because you have to have a Sus. You have to be prepared. You got to be ready for warfare. But you got to know, Anachnu Mashem Hashem Elokeinu Naskir. We're the ones who go out mentioning the name of God. That is what guarantees our victory. And that's why some of the Mefarshim point out, Geshmak, now the horse, why does it say Sus? You go out to war with many horses. I know, if you're living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you're Lenegan Hashem, you're one-on-one with Hashem, you don't have to have a mighty army. You just have to do basic Hishtalos. Avraham Avinu goes out to war in Parshas Lech Lecha. How many people does he take with him? Again, in this massive war. Vayorek Es Chanichov. Aitz, he takes out Gematria. A 308, in the end of the day, Eliezer. What's it? One person. I just need one sus. Aitz, all you need is one horse. You just have to do with Hishtalos if you're living with Hashem. If you're not living with Hashem, and then you got to go and do all that. And Rechaim Kanevsky, when he was asked by Lakewood, when there was a terrorist threat in Lakewood a few years ago, and they asked Rechaim Kanevsky, do we have to spend money and now get security and security guards all around the perimeter of Lakewood? He said, no, I know the Torah will be a shmirah. You don't need to. And then they asked him, they said, well, a lot of the people have cell phones, and they have cell phones, etc. He says, oh, if you have cell phones, then you need to hire security.
Wow.
And then he'd ask, why? Because then you're bringing in the outside world. Torah is a shmira. But if you already created breakages, and Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel used to say this in the air, if you're bringing in the cell phones, that means you're bringing in the outside world. That means anyone can call you whenever they want. That means all these devices are coming in with the internet. With it. And the end of the day, that means you're not isolated. If you're not isolated, then Rav Chaim said, then you have to hire security. But if you have your ishtalus, sus, if you're living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you need is to prepare one horse, Lashon Yochid. But the ikar is to know that Lashem HaTeshua, the victory, the Yeshua, is always going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No matter what we do, everyone has to realize all our ishtalus is only just that. It's only ishtalus. What's going to determine the outcome, just like by Yosef HaTzadik, just like everything we do in life, the upshot remains solely up to the determination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shvi Zoycha to be Mechavein. And Mevatel our Ratzon to his, and to have all the results being exactly in accordance with the Ratzon Hashem. Great day.
Remember, I told you, I think that before I began to discuss an idea and with our Hashem, that they had a wonderful that when they were couples, they could do the readings on the calendar.